I want to speak to the Health Minister who's available to speak to us, Minister Jim Wells. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It's a very difficult time for your family at the moment, Minister.
It's absolutely dreadful, Frank. Can I just make it clear that I didn't approach the media. The story broke this morning in one newspaper, and that's why I'm responding. I certainly wouldn't want to be making any publicity out of my wife's very serious condition.
And just on that, Minister, because this is important, we've been aware of this for 3 weeks now, and you were approached eventually by, as you say, a newspaper this morning or late last night. Your wife is totally entitled to her privacy, yeah. And that's something that we've completely respected over the last number of weeks. But now that it's in the public domain, people will want to hear from you.
Yes, and I'm aware, Frank, that you've known for 3 weeks and have kept the confidence, and I appreciate that. Frank, Grace has had two strokes and she's in a serious condition. It's been an awful 3 weeks for myself and the family, wider friends, circle of friends, and we've spent a huge amount of time by our bedside. And I must pay tribute, first of all, to the outstanding care that she's received from many, many health service professionals, particularly the acute stroke unit in the Royal and the hospital that she's in at the moment. And also want to pay tribute particularly to the nurses who have worked so valiantly to help her. Lots of local nurses from Northern Ireland, but also a very large number of nurses, both male and female, from the Philippines, India, Poland, Nigeria, who've been absolutely outstanding. And I now realise that without them, we'd have real trouble manning our shifts in our hospitals, because it's such an essential component of the health service. So I want to pay tribute to them, and of course the consultants, particularly the consultants that have been so helpful to us in explaining Grace's position. And I suppose I've always said when I became health minister that I should spend a night sometime in one of our hospitals. Well, I'm afraid I've had an awful lot of experience of that over this last few weeks. Maybe not in the way I had hoped, but certainly I have a totally different insight into our hospitals as a result of the recent experience.
Does it in any way make the time in hospital more difficult for you, being the health minister?
Yes, Frank, I'll be honest with you. People have been well-meaning. Many people thought I was in the hospital doing a spot inspection to check what was going on. And my response to that was, if only. It could have been a pleasure to have been in that position. No, people have either known this situation or have seen me and lobbied me in some subject. I don't mind that, because, I mean, they didn't know the set of circumstances I was in. And I must say, I've learned an awful lot through that. But I've been approached by a constant stream of staff who have, you know, legitimate concerns, who are not aware of the situation. Those who were aware, of course, were very tactful about it and didn't raise their concerns. And others, there were some humorous incidents as well. One lady asked me, are you involved in something up at Stormont, Mr. Wells? And I said, I am. And I said, well, what are you involved in? And are you in charge of something? And I said, well, what are you in charge of? And I said, health. And she nearly died, because she was a hospital worker herself. And she just didn't know. And we had a bit of a laugh about it. But no, there was very serious down times. There's been, you know, frankly, awful times. And some of your listeners will be aware of what's called the bad news room. That's the room you're taken to when things take a turn for the worse and you have to be prepared for very bad news. And I've been there 4 times, and I must say it has been terribly stressful. But hopefully she's making progress, and we're with her all the way. Can I just pay also tribute to members of my own church? The party have been marvellous. The party leader, Peter Robinson, has been in constant contact with me. He's been a real tower of strength. Have our MPs and our members of the European Parliament. So they have been marvellous. The family, friends, the church have been great. I don't know how we could have seen through this terribly difficult time without that support.
Have you found that other politicians have been sympathetic towards you?
Yes, indeed. I refer to them as sworn political rivals, but people like Sean Rogers and Mark Durkan, Pat Ramsey, Karen McKevitt, Danny Kennedy, folk like that have been in constant contact. And, you know, we set politics aside when that sort of thing happened. And I must say I've had messages of support right across the political divide, and genuine people ringing up at all sorts of hours asking how things are going. Because, as you remember, we're often sitting at 2-3 in the morning by the hospital, and a message or a tweet or a text message or an email can be such a lift in very, very difficult times. And Some of our MLAs, I just wonder when they ever sleep, because I seem to get messages from them at the strangest of hours, and that's really appreciated. And also those who have been through this experience and who shared with me their own situation. Edwin Putz had a close relative who's been through a serious stroke, and he was able to share with me in great detail what happened in his situation, which was an encouragement to us. So the darkest hour was the loss of Martin McCrossan, who many of you will know as the Wall City tour guide, who was in the bed opposite Grace, and we got to know his family very well and shared their sad loss. A young man, he's only 52, who passed away and had done so much for tourism in Northern Ireland, and that was a very difficult time for all concerned, and it just shows you the fragility of life.
It certainly does. It's a reminder of the fragility of life, just listening to you, Minister. I'm just wondering how difficult it is for you when you do walk along the corridor and someone who isn't aware of why you're in the hospital collars you, and it's maybe a person who's ultimately employed by you, and they're giving you a hard time. How does that feel?
It doesn't, because I understand they don't know why I'm there, particularly if I'm coming in with a suit on. They think I'm just there doing an inspection or meeting senior staff. And again, those senior staff have been incredibly supportive as well. I mean, I'm hearing it as it is. I don't mind people coming forward and complaining. And I must say that sometimes the sort of issues they raise are very sensible and very practical. And I suppose when the dust settles, I'll take up some of their suggestions. But at the minute, that's the last thing in my mind. No, I mean, people are well-meaning. And to be honest, everyone, while they've been approaching me, knowing of the situation or not, have been extremely polite and civil. There's been no issue whatsoever. There's nothing that has upset me. But it is obviously, in my position, very hard to remain anonymous in a large hospital, walking in and out all the time. Even if you're having, you know, a box of chocolates or a card under your arm, people automatically assume that you're there for another reason. And I don't mind that. And, you know, I have no complaints about any of what's happened. Obviously, my main focus has been on the fact that I'm married to Grace for 32 years with three wonderful children, grown-up children. She's a grandmother. And we just hope and pray that she'll soon be back with us on her feet and doing what she loves best, which was knitting, crocheting and sewing. She's a great, very much into her crafts, and we'd love to see her back doing that.
And no doubt, when you mention you'd be praying that she gets back to full health or makes recovery of some form, you'll be welcoming prayers from the community.
Absolutely, Frank. I can say it's extraordinary. I'm getting emails not only from Northern Ireland but much further afield, from churches and groups saying they're praying for Grace, and that is so appreciated, to think that people are taking the time to hold her up in prayer. And you know, it's only when you're in this position that you really realise how important that is. Sadly, Frank, I've seen situations in the various hospitals Grace has been in where there have been family patients who nobody has visited. At visiting time, they're on their own, and there doesn't seem to be any family left or church or community support. And I find that terribly sad when I see people in that position where all the other beds, there's groups huddled around, and there's maybe one very elderly person who's on her own, just watching this going on. Now, in our situation, Grace has had tremendous support in terms of visits, but we have to be mindful of others. But no, my own church have been fantastic, and we have no complaints. When we come home, there's always seemed to be another box of food lying on the doorstep to feed myself and the children, and that's wonderful. I have enough food now to last to July. So, no, I mean, it does show Northern Ireland at its best when this sort of thing happens, and I've had no annoyances or upset or anything about all of this, because, you know, people are very genuine and are trying to be helpful, and are indeed being helpful.
Are you able, Minister, at the moment, and I mean this, you know, in the most meaningful way, are you able to do your job at the moment?
Well, Frank, what I can say is I have got the most tremendous team in private office behind me. Edwin Putz said to me, be ready to be astounded by the quality of the staff in that office. And both in private office and the press office, I have a most brilliant team who have been taking the burden for the last 3 weeks. When Grace's situation has improved, I've nipped in for a day and tried to get the paperwork sorted out, then gone back to the hospital. Grace was doing very well until last Tuesday, and we thought that she'd be home by now, and then we had a major setback. We're reviewing the situation all the time, but what I can say is that such as the quality of the team we have in that office, that at the moment we can still hold things reasonably well, but we'll obviously keep the situation under review and see what happens. But my family are very supportive, and they would be with Grace during the day, and then I would come in during the evenings. But when she was in the Royal, I was there throughout the night, every night with her. And so far we've managed, but you know, obviously we're going to keep the situation constantly under review. And I mean, I've been blessed with I think it's the best team at Stormont. That's my honest view. I think they're fabulous.
Because it'll be crossing people's mind, your own health, with regards to the responsibility you have, the work you need to do, staying up at night at a bedside vigil. All of that is very testing on the strongest of people.
Yes, so fortunately, Frank, I'm in fairly good health myself. I had a period of ill health there, but fortunately, as a result of the care of the Craigavon Area Hospital, I'm now back to full health and strength. So I have managed to get through this reasonably well, thankfully. And as practical help, friends and family have come in and did a lot of the practical tasks around the home, and these things like looking after the dog, for instance, and even the fish have been sent off for rehoming on a temporary basis. So, you know, it wouldn't have been possible without the huge support I've received from everyone. But we're going to obviously plan ahead and see what happens. I must say, Frank, the one thing that's come out of this, and there's been very little that has been positive, I suppose, has been the fact that my understanding of health service, the pressures that the health services are under, and the sheer enormity of running acute wards in our hospital has moved on to a totally different planet, because I have been there and seen just what has been happening, and the speed with which things move, and the high level of occupancy of beds and the pressure, particularly during cold weather. I mean, that has given me a unique insight into the management of hospitals, and I think I have actually, in a strange way, benefited from that. But I can also say, Frank, this is the last way in which I wanted to learn this lesson. I would definitely have preferred to have been doing it going in on a voluntary basis.
Of course, but as you sit there of an evening, maybe thinking through some of the professional aspects of being in hospital, and you're suggesting that you are learning, do you think to yourself sometimes, maybe I was on the wrong track?
Being frank, yes, I think you're probably right. There are things that I've picked up that where I maybe was going down the wrong route. It has emphasised to me the importance of nursing, the importance of getting more nurses into the profession, into the hospitals, the importance of retaining nurses who've come from 12,000 miles to work in our hospitals. And Frank, what embarrasses me is that their English is better than mine. And that's absolutely true. I've heard seen people who've got English that would put you out of shame. It's extraordinary. And it's also indicated to me that when we talk about pressures and wards in hospitals, it's not just not like an academic thing. When you actually see it in practice and see, particularly when A&E is going hammer and tongs downstairs, EDs are very busy, and that feeds through to the acute wards, you just see just the enormity of the task. The other thing I knew nothing about before this was what's called the intensive care units, which I, unfortunately, now have quite a bit of experience of. And the intensive care units are on a totally different planet to the ordinary wards in terms of technology and complexity and staffing levels. And I had a real eye-opener when I saw just what went on there. And when people mention ICU to me from now on, I will know exactly what they're talking about. So I suppose those are the pluses. The minuses are that, you know, we're still terribly worried about Grace's condition and trying to do everything we can to support her.
And at this moment in time, that is the most important thing.
That is the absolute priority at the moment, and the family are all focused on that. And Grace is very close to her children, and they have seen attributes that I never knew existed in them through this trial. I've seen parts of their character which have been amazing, and they have been absolutely superb. And they're older now, my children are all in their 20s, and therefore they have been very supportive on a human level as well as practical. And Grace is very aware that they're there, and you know, I know she appreciates the fact that there's always a vigil with her.
Well, our thoughts are very much with Grace and with your family at the moment, Minister. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for speaking to us. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
That's Jim Wells, the Health Minister, whose wife has suffered two strokes. It's just gone 20 past 9. Good morning.